How do you do? We hear about mass killings and wonder how anyone can be so heartless. But if they were like the man in this story, their hearts were frozen like a block of ice. His description. But that's not true of him anymore. Parental guidance is suggested due to some of the subject matters in this true testimony of Douglas Hayner and how his heart and mind and life were unshackled.
Well, Doug, everything's set for the next half hour. You want some coffee?
Sure, I've got the night shift. Coffee's just what I need.
That was a great Unshackled story. It's hard to believe anyone could be that violent.
I believe it. I used to be like that.
You're kidding.
Nope. I used to spend my days thinking of ways to kill people so I wouldn't be caught.
You? Why?
Because I felt that I'd been mistreated and abused as long as I could remember.
At home?
Home, school, everywhere. My first memory is my fourth birthday. My older sister slammed a rifle butt in my face because she was jealous of the attention I was getting. I tasted my own blood for the first time, and I remember thinking, now she's going to get the spanking of her life.
Did that make you feel better?
No, my parents didn't do anything to her.
Wow.
Mom just said, don't do things like that to your brother. I wanted to get even with her, but I was smaller, powerless. So I started seeking special power.
Power? Powers? Well, how do you mean?
Well, one day I saw a wasp on the windowsill. I thought I'd make friends with it and then ask it to sting my sister. How much do you know at 4 years old, huh? So I picked it up to make friends with it.
Right.
It stung my hand, and boy, did that hurt. I wish I'd learned the lesson then.
What lesson?
Revenge is too costly, and that you can never make friends with evil.
Bringing hope to a disillusioned world, this is Unshackled, true life stories of real people dramatized and produced in Chicago by Pacific Garden Mission. Every morning, the homeless wake up to another day of roaming around, foraging for food, unless they come to Pacific Garden Mission. There, they receive nourishing meals, fresh clothing, and a safe place to sleep. Thanks to friends who care and send financial gifts to keep the doors open, the old lighthouse also provides medical and dental care to alleviate their pain. Hundreds of men, women, and children receive shelter and help each day. Most of all, they receive hope as pastors and counselors share the good news of God's love. The mission helps them find new life in Him, forgiveness for the past, and hope for the future, because His compassions fail not. They are new every morning. And that same message goes out to the world in 8 languages through this program. Now, for broadcast around the earth, here is program number 3034 in the series Unshackled, the program that makes you face yourself and think.
Let's take our coffee outside. Might be cooler out there by now.
Sure. So, tell me, Doug, I have a hard time seeing you as a violent person.
Oh, I was. There were 4 of us kids, and we used to go to the basement, turn off the lights, and sneak around. Whoever we bumped into, we would beat them with a fury.
And your parents didn't stop you?
No. They didn't see the potential damage it could do to us. I was almost 5 when I had a dream about an ugly beast that was standing at the edge of a cliff coaxing people to take a look at what was down there. And when they got close, he pushed them over the edge.
That's terrible. You were so young to have a dream like that.
Well, I woke up and wondered how anyone could be attracted to such an ugly beast.
The Bible describes the devil as an attractive being, an angel of light.
Oh, the beast that I saw was not attractive, but it had so much power. I like that.
You know, they say abuse can be inherited, Doug. Were your parents mean to you?
Well, Mom used to beat me with a long wooden 1x2. In summer, I couldn't go swimming until the red marks faded.
That's awful. Didn't someone at school notice?
Well, I lied about it most of the time, and one day I told the teacher how Mom threw me out the front door, and she questioned Mom. I learned not to do that again.
What a life. Well, did you at least make friends at school?
No, I trusted no one. See, my first day of kindergarten, I looked around and thought, there will be no friends here. and that was a self-fulfilling prophecy. Hmm. Early in first grade, I got my face pounded in the ground during a fight on the playground, and that drove me deeper into darkness and seclusion.
I thought the schools had monitors to prevent things like that.
Oh, no, not back then. This was the early 60s.
Oh.
So, I started collecting razor blades and sharp pencils and other common things to help me fight.
Whoa. In the first grade?
Yeah. Now, see, one day I cut myself on my own razor blade, and blood was dripping down my arm as I returned to class from recess. A teacher noticed.
Oh, Doug, you're bleeding. You've cut yourself. On the playground? Let's go outside and you show me where it happened so no one else gets hurt.
I couldn't let her see my secret stash of weapons, so I let her on a wild goose chase away from them. When I got home, I lied to Mom about how I got cut.
No wonder you had nightmares.
Yeah, I had them often. See, at night I dreamed I was drowning or being burned in a fire. Woke me up most nights. And then I'd wander around the house while the rest of the family slept.
Afraid to go back to sleep.
Yeah. Finally, I began to talk with the weird people from my dreams because I thought they would help me.
That's too dangerous for anybody, but especially for a child. What happened?
It seemed like they were competing for me. I felt special.
I'm so sorry you didn't have any real friends.
Yeah, well, there was one boy at school who was nice to me. Yeah, but he told me he already had enough friends.
Did you do well in school?
No, I had no aptitude for learning. School just seemed like a waste of time. And the kids called me stupid. See, all I thought about was revenge and retaliation.
Tell me you didn't act on those thoughts.
Afraid I did. I started digging tiger pits for people to fall into.
Good grief. How did you learn that?
I watched some older boys making them. I became very good at it. One day when I knew Dad would be transporting firewood in a wheelbarrow along a path beside the house, I dug a tiger pit and waited. It worked perfectly. I saw the wheelbarrow drop into the pit as Dad flipped with his legs straight up in the air. At the time, I had no regrets. I just walked away. Nothing or no one mattered to me.
I'm guessing you didn't have a good relationship with your dad.
No. I felt that he and Mom cared more about my younger brother. I used to break Dad's tools and glue them back together. Later, when he tried to use them, they would fall apart. In my twisted mind, I was getting even.
You know, jealousy is a terrible sin. It creates more problems than really exist.
Yeah, all I cared about was making someone pay for all the abuse I'd taken. Once I told Mom I was beat up in school, and she said I probably deserved it.
How long did this behavior go on?
Well, when I was in the fourth grade, I moved to a new school because the old one was being torn down.
I hope things got better.
Yeah, they got worse. Gang violence ruled the playground. Kids got beat up every day at recess. I got my share of beatings from the leader, a bad boy named Steve.
Now, I knew a few bullies at school, but nothing like that.
You have no idea. Brass knuckles and worse.
The principal should have put a stop to that.
Yeah, but by then my rage was out of control. I was constantly in trouble at home and at school. One day I pulled a pocket knife and held it to my dad's chest. I was 9 years old.
What did he do?
Took it away from me. I never saw it again.
Well, good for him.
And another day, I took a swing at my teacher. She grabbed me by the collar and told me never to do that again. After that, I learned something very important.
What was that?
I realized that open violence at home or at school would get me nowhere. I had to behave so I wouldn't be a suspect when I killed people.
Whoa. You planned to kill people?
It was all I thought about. How to do it. What to do with the bodies. But I heard news reports, and I didn't want to be killed myself or caught and then sit on death row, so I had to plan carefully.
Doug, you had gone to such a deep level of evil by this time.
Mm-hmm.
I can't imagine what it must have been like for your family to live with you.
I figured there were powers that could help me get revenge without getting caught, so I would wander in a field behind the school searching for powers to help me.
Oh, man.
Yeah. One of my teachers saw me out there every recess and asked, "What are you doing out there?"
Yeah, if she only knew.
Yeah. Yeah, I couldn't tell her the real reason. Another teacher asked why I always looked so sad.
Pity you didn't open up to them.
I was a complete loner. I couldn't let anyone see the real Doug.
Did your family go to church?
Yeah, we went every Sunday. I mean, I learned the typical Bible stories in Sunday school. I knew that Jesus died on the cross, but my heart was like flint. It was evil, not good.
This is so incredible, Doug, that no one picked up on your troubled state.
It was like I was in prison, in solitary confinement, and no one knew.
Someone knew. The Lord.
Yeah, but I didn't realize it.
So your parents were never caught for abusing you. Did they abuse your siblings?
Well, once after Dad beat my younger sister, she called child services, and Mom and Dad went to court. I don't remember any beatings at home after that.
But the damage was done.
Was it ever? I felt that I hated my parents for beating me, for loving my younger brother more than me. I wanted to kill to get even.
Well, you wanted revenge, but nothing would have satisfied you, Doug.
Mm-mm.
Sin always demands more and more and more.
Yeah, well, I was so antisocial. I did random acts of violence, started fires, hanged little animals, destroyed property. You know, I actually thought about being a hitman when I grew up.
A hitman? Animal? I don't know what to say. It's a wonder you even grew up.
It is. I did a number of things that could have easily killed me. But God wasn't willing to let me die in my sin. You know, I jumped off roofs, and once I fell out of a tree and landed on my back. Right beside me, I saw a metal rod sticking up a foot out of the ground.
God spared you.
Oh, yes.
Even though you didn't allow the lessons from Sunday school to soften your heart, God was working to present the gospel to you. He was intent on showing you how far Jesus had gone to demonstrate his love for you.
As far as I knew, love didn't exist in the world. My motto was, kill them all and let God sort them out.
At least you knew God existed.
Yes. And I was on a collision course with him.
In a moment, we'll hear about that collision. How we love to hear from our listeners telling us what Unshackled means to them. Here are excerpts, like this email. I'm 8 years old and love to listen to your broadcast. Another man emailed us, I love how you put the Word of God in your program. Thank God for the people in this world that is sold out to Christ. A listener in Liberia, Africa, emailed us, for 5 years I did not enter a church, but the program Unshackled changed my life, and I'm now going back to church. And this man emailed us, I love your program since I'm someone who has struggled with addiction, and Unshackled gives me a fresh resolve every time I listen. This single mother of four emailed us, if the Lord God permits, increase the frequency in which Unshackled is aired. A woman in Fresno emailed us, we used to listen to you in the Philippines on Far East Broadcasting, a wonderful program. Another woman emailed us, thank you for your radio programs. They have truly enriched my life, and I believe in many ways changed my life. Thank you for being a blessing to me. The radio programs uplift my faith in Christ, and I also remember that in any struggles, he sees me, and that others have gone through these issues as well. I feel the shows help me to be less selfish as well. We'd love to hear from you, too, so please write soon. The address, Pacific Garden Mission, Chicago, Illinois, 60607. Our email address is unshackled@pgm.org. Please include your address.
The summer between my 5th and 6th grade, my parents sent me to a Christian camp located in the woods with a small lake. I'd always enjoyed swimming, one of my small pleasures in an otherwise detestable life. One night, we had a speaker who described the crucifixion.
Jesus, the Son of God, was beaten bloody before they nailed him to the cross, and blood streamed out of the wounds all over his body, not just his hands and feet. The crown of thorns on his head mocked him and his kingdom. He had been spit upon and falsely accused, this perfect Lamb of God. But his suffering bought our redemption. Our sins nailed him there. Our sins alone, because the Bible says the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Jesus took our sins to the cross. He paid the penalty for us. He is the Lamb of God. Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world.
Suddenly, I could envision Jesus dying on the cross right in front of me. I stared at his battered face and the blood flowing from his wounds. I'd taken many beatings and given some too, and it was the violence of the cross that attracted me. His willingness to endure such violence for me opened my spiritual eyes. I saw what I'd become, as cruel as those who crucified him, those who abused me. I was worse, because I'd committed murder in my heart.
The message of the cross is this: we are all sinners, but God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Repent of your sins and ask God to forgive you and to save you. Put your trust in God's sacrifice for your sins and you will be saved. You will not come into condemnation. Jesus loves you. He died to save you. Jesus said, "He that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life."
Thank you, Jesus, for taking my place in my punishment. I'm so sorry for all the evil that I've done. I know that I deserve to die for all that I've done, but you took my place. Please forgive my sins and save me.
So you were saved that night at camp, Doug?
Yes. God's love melted my icy heart.
That's wonderful.
Yeah, the choice was clear. I had to turn from the hate that was eating me alive to the Savior who loved me and died for me. I left that camp feeling happier than I had in my entire life.
Praise God.
Oh, yes. But I also felt stupid.
Why?
Well, because I hadn't seen the truth years before. Why did it take so long?
The Lord is not willing that any should perish.
Yeah, well, I had trouble forgiving myself for being so evil, so I kept quiet about my faith for a long time.
How did things finally change?
I realized God wanted me to do my best in all things. It started with studying in school, so I did. It was a monumental effort beginning in seventh grade, but my grades improved.
And you stayed in church?
Yes. I joined a youth group that memorized Bible verses, and God used them to help me change.
All right, try again, Doug. You almost got it right.
Okay. Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me.
All right.
Yeah, I got it. All right, thanks. Okay, no, your turn.
Okay. Romans chapter 8, verse 1. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit.
All right, good. But, you know, that's the hard part, walking after the Spirit.
You have to pray and read the Bible every morning.
Yeah, I try to do that.
Okay, guys. Well, our team goal is going to memorize more verses than the other teams, right?
Well, of course, yeah. I was doing pretty well, I thought. The Lord helped me to restore a proper relationship with my family. No one was as bad as they seemed earlier. My inspiration verse was Philippians chapter 4, verse 13, that says, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. I forgot a verse in Proverbs that says, pride goeth before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. One day in ninth grade, a classmate assaulted me, and immediately I slammed him into the wall. I was pulled from class that afternoon and led to the principal's office. Later, I told my youth group.
Was the guy okay?
Fortunately, he was okay and I was forgiven.
The old Doug hijacked the new Doug.
Well, that guy blinded me with the squirt gun, one of the oldest tricks in street fighting, and I was furious. Now, I'm ashamed.
We all fail, Doug.
Well, I don't want God to give up on me.
If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We memorized that verse from 1 John chapter 1.
Yeah, I guess you're right.
Not me, man. The Bible's right. God is always right.
Right. You know, I must learn to forgive.
Well, that's one of our verses for today. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 32. And be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you.
Learning to apply the principle of forgiveness to others was not easy. But God reminded me how much he had forgiven me. From then on, no matter what else was going on, I started each day with Bible reading and prayer so I wouldn't slip into my old instinctive aggression. I also started teaching Sunday school to fifth and sixth grade boys. So when you're tempted to say or do something questionable, ask yourself, would Jesus do that? Remember, the friendship of the world is enmity with God. He wants you to follow Jesus, not the latest rock stars. Your friends will try to get you to do things that are wrong, but you must trust in God's word, what the Bible tells you to do. The Bible says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. 1 John chapter 2, verse 15. Now, God has a plan for your life, and it begins with salvation. And he will lead you to success. Trust him. While other boys were out playing sports after school, I had my nose in the books. I studied hard almost every night in high school and dreaded the thought of more of the same in college. Someone suggested a local Bible Institute for 1 year to learn God's plan for my life, and I'm glad I followed that advice. While I was there, they held a missions conference.
Our radio transmission started after World War II with a 2,500-watt transmitter, Army surplus. We began shortwave radio in Tangier, Morocco. We want to cover the earth with the Word of God. Countries where the Bible is contraband, where the gospel's forbidden, where the name of Jesus has never been heard. Radio has no borders. People can listen to sermons or Bible teaching or even music and true life dramas like Unshackled. Most of the world can be reached by shortwave radio from each of our locations. We need all kinds of missionaries, especially electronic engineers.
I was intrigued because Dad was a ham radio operator, and he talked to people overseas through his radio. So after I finished at the Bible Institute, I enrolled in electronic school to learn broadcasting. I wrote to see if they needed personnel, but then I landed a good job in a local electronics factory and was slow to respond to a job offer from them because I was making good money. I finally went for an interview.
Our goal, Doug, is to lead people from doubt to decision in Christ. So we have a mix of broadcasts that emphasize Bible teaching. We want to make disciples.
I'm impressed with your growth around the world since you first started broadcasting.
Yeah. Now, after Morocco, we started a shortwave broadcast in Monte Carlo, in the very site Hitler used for propaganda.
Wow!
From there, we reach millions in Europe, the Middle East, and Russia.
Well, what's your biggest transmitter?
A 500,000-watt transmitter on an island in Dutch Antilles. It reaches South America, the Caribbean, and Central America. Recently, we put a shortwave transmitter in Northeast Africa and also in Swaziland that reaches most of Africa.
Well, how big are the ones where you want me to serve?
100,000-watt transmitters.
Wow.
Four of them on Guam.
Oh.
They beam the gospel to China, Southeast Asia, and the Eastern Soviet Union. With these transmitters, we can reach half the world's population.
Amazing.
So, how would you like to live in Guam? It's very tropical. No more winters.
Well, how long is the tour?
3 years.
And here you are on the island of Guam in the Pacific Ocean.
Yes, halfway around the world from where I grew up in Michigan.
I'm glad you finally went for that interview.
Well, that was part of God's plan, too. I studied hard in electronics school, rose to the top of the class, and landed the analyzer job at the factory, the most coveted position.
God is good.
Amen. I was able to save thousands of dollars to help support myself as a missionary here.
That's quite a testimony, Doug.
It's all true. Some of it I wish wasn't true, but it is.
You know, someday your story should be aired on Unshackled.
which reminds me, it's time to get back inside and go on duty.
Ooh, I have to change that tape.
While in Guam, I would stand on a hill above the ocean and praise the Lord, who is able to hold the entire ocean in the palm of his hand. I realized that everything I owned and had become was due to the Lord's grace on my life. I even became a ham radio operator, like my dad, and talked to him from Guam. After 3 years, I came back and worked at a small Christian station in Pennsylvania. One day, they hired a new girl.
Hello, I'm Penny, and they told me to work in here.
This is the engineering workshop?
Yes, I know. They don't have enough office space, so they said I should sit in the desk here.
Oh, okay. Here, let me clear away my stuff. Hang on. Okay. By the way, my name is Doug Hainer.
Nice to meet you, Doug. I'm sorry to barge in on you like this. Oh,
not a problem, Penny. You make the room look a lot more appealing. We started dating, and a year later we were engaged, planning our marriage for the next year. 2 days before our wedding, the owner sold the radio station.
What will you do, Doug?
Probably resign.
Why?
Well, I've heard rumors that the new owner is going to turn it into a rock music station. I don't want to be a part of that.
I'm glad you're taking a stand. I admire your resolve.
Well, as soon as you start compromising, where does it end?
So how soon will you leave?
After the wedding, I'll give them 2 weeks' notice.
Even though you don't have a job lined up?
I think God knows about the problem, and He can provide one. We were married, and 3 days after I gave my 2 weeks' notice, a Christian organization called me. They needed a broadcast engineer at their station in Cleveland, Ohio. I didn't have to think twice. We moved there and have lived in Cleveland ever since, raising our 2 daughters to know the Lord. So, 26 years after my friend in Guam made the proclamation about my story in Unshackled, I'm telling it now, because I know there are other kids out there who suffer as I did from violence. The Lord is able to turn your life into something good if you trust Him. 1 John chapter 3, verse 8 says, "He that committeth sin is of the devil, for the devil sinneth from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that He might destroy the works of the devil."
For God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. Listening friend, no matter what you've done in the past, God cares about your future. Christ Jesus gave His life so you could have forgiveness for your sins and eternal life in heaven. The Bible says in Acts chapter 16, verse 31, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved, and thy house." Pray with us now. Heavenly Father, I believe Jesus died for my sins. I believe He rose again, victorious over death, and lives to save me now. I repent of my sins against You. Save me, Lord. Thank You for Your salvation, the gift of eternal life. In Your name I pray. Amen. We'd love to know you prayed, and we'll send you some helpful literature. The address, Pacific Garden Mission, Chicago, Illinois, 60607. The telephone number in Chicago, 312-492-9410. Our email address is unshackled@pgm.org. Visit our website to learn more about this ministry, unshackled.org. This is program number 3034. Unshackled is produced by Pacific Garden Mission to show through true stories that if your life is empty, it can be filled to overflowing. Hearing from you is important to us, so please write soon. The address, Pacific Garden Mission, Chicago, Illinois, 60607. You may call Pacific Garden Mission in Chicago and talk with someone who cares. 312-492-9410. Someone is waiting for your call. 312-492-9410.